Hey y'all, welcome to the first ever podcast from the Ham Roast Sparks with me, the Ham Roast Sparks himself. For my first episode, I will be chatting with none other than Anthony Novak, infamously known for being the first to cross the divide of the rivalry from Forge to Calvary. If there's anyone more passionate, earnest, and expressive about the CPL, playing footy for a living, and how difficult coming back from gross injuries can be, then I can't wait to meet them. Welcome to episode one. And some good times with a Canadian professional and continental legend.
Sorry.
It's all good, man.
Start that again because I just hit record. All right, yeah. Tell us who you are.
I'm Anthony Novak, and I'm a professional soccer player. I'm a two-time champion with Forge FC. And I'm here to chat a little bit during the off season with the Hammer of Sparks.
Right on. Amazing. Thank you very much. And I really had to get you to say your name because there's one of a big fans of ours who's from England who calls you Anthony.
And I'm
driving that home to him. So
yeah, keep the TH.
You got it. You got it. All right. So starting off, I have a ton of questions for you, obviously.
Cool,
but to start off with, when you left the team, and crossed the divide to our bitter rivals over in Calvary. Obviously, a lot of fans were disappointed here, but excited for you. But no one more disappointed than me because I had just written you a new song and didn't get a chance to debut it with you. So,
awesome. That's actually a shame.
No worries. But you actually didn't leave to go to Calvary first. You first went to play in Portugal, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So what was that like?
It was an interesting experience. It was a bit different because it was like during COVID and whatnot. So
right.
I didn't get the full Portuguese experience, if you will.
But right.
I was in Coimbra, which is like the second oldest city in Europe, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I know at least the university is only surpassed by Oxford. So it was nice. It was cool. Everything was cobblestones and like, you know, it was very like quaint as you would imagine like Portugal being coming from North America, you know what I mean?
Right,
it's kind
right,
of like everything that you would have thought of.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay, and obviously COVID impacts that one, but it was also like a fast turnover too. Like from what I understand, like you had to like make your decision, get ready to go, and then kind of out the door.
Like yeah, when- well I had been trying to go to I had been trying to go to Asia and I had something lined up there and that didn't pan out. So I was kind of keen to try something other than the CPL, you know?
Right.
And this opportunity kind of just fell into my lap. And then I, all of a sudden I was like a 48-hour whirlwind, you know, like I was like, just sat at home. And then next thing you know, I was like on the plane and I actually turned up at the airport the first time. And I was under the understanding that the club would kind of sort the visa for me. And it would
right.
like kind of, when I showed up, I would be good to go.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that was maybe naive on my end or if there was something COVID related going on, but I wasn't allowed on the plane even though I had like the contract and stuff and like
really
all the supporting documents from the club. I so then I had to get on the phone to the embassy and stuff, and I called the one in Ottawa, I called the one in Toronto because the one in Toronto didn't answer me, so I called the one in Ottawa and they got upset at me for calling that one. They said you need to deal with the one closest to your residence, and I like spammed them like with calls, and they like
wow.
weren't really appreciative. To be completely honest, they were like a little rude, but I was like, "This is my work. This is my work. You know, like you gotta
right.
let me go."
So this like speaks to a lot about, you know, a little league starting up here in Canada and stuff like that. Like all the worldly things that we don't know yet about, you know, soccer around the globe and what it takes for Canadians to get overseas. It's kind of like
it's one of those things, right? Like the CBL for me, I've always said like is so important because like I'm a kid that didn't have a passport that wasn't Canadian growing up, you know, and kind
right.
of no roots in any kind of professional academy apart from playing for like the Toronto Lynx. Like I know they used to be USL, but by the time I was there, it was just a PDL team as the first team, right? So
right.
like there's not a lot of kind of foot in the door, so to speak. Like if CPL hadn't started, like I never would have played in Portugal, you know.
Right.
Obviously the success that like we had at Forge at the time like certainly didn't hurt, you know.
No doubt. Right. And that does speak to like getting that opportunity. Like you were saying, a lot of kids playing in Canada, but not with that international passport or something like that. How do you get that chance somewhere
else? It's tough.
And the passport, the Canadian passport, I mean, this World Cup helps, that just went by. But before that, it was like people weren't banging down the door to get Canadian players, right?
Well, that's true, right? Like, even if you look at the players that have moved on, like, I'm not sure if Joel Waterman's got a passport or not. But I know that there's been some links and stuff,
right,
for his next move to be overseas. And I'm good friends with Vic Littori, obviously, from my time in Calgary. We're quite close. So I think he has the same passport that Willie has, and had the opportunity to play internationally. But I don't believe it's like a specifically like desired destination for like club football, right?
Right.
I can't remember which passport he has now. But he's essentially like a Canadian international playing in the Scottish Prem, right?
Right, which is amazing.
Like, which is obviously now the case with Alistair Johnston also, who I played against in League One.
Which is crazy now to see all these guys that you've like played with, been teammates with, and now getting their shots in other places, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so how have you been staying in shape in this offseason?
One second, I'm going to put my beanie on. There's a little glare coming off the top of my head.
No worries. Technical difficulties here. Good one.
I don't know why it's so off today.
But I had to do all my stuff right now, too. I was getting glares everywhere, too.
Yeah, how I've been staying in shape. I have to, like, give, like, a little bit of a shout-out to the to Calgary in the respect that, you know, the season is technically ended and stuff. And as you probably saw, I don't have an option picked up for next season anymore. But I still have use of the facilities and whatnot. So I have access to training, and if it came to it, the physio as well. Cause obviously like the injury that I sustained was honestly not very pretty.
Yeah.
I think that the official press release said that it was like an ACL at the beginning of the season. But it wasn't, it actually wasn't an ACL. When you do an injury like that,
right,
they do like a kind of testing where they pull on your leg a little bit, they'll grab you by the heel and they'll pull towards them. And there should be a point where like your knee kind of holds itself, you know, like a.
Right.
When my knee didn't hold itself. So they just kind of assumed like that the ACL was fully gone.
Right.
But it was actually my LCL that I had done, which is the outside.
Right.
And where it attaches to the hamstring, it totally detached.
Oh,
so that's why they weren't finding that endpoint when they were doing that testing,
because it wasn't even connected.
Yeah, because it wasn't on anymore. So I did an LCL, and I had detached the hamstring, and then I just did mild ACL. It wasn't like that. A little bit of MCL recovery. I had a meniscus repair as well, and I had fractured the fibia head too. So
oh my gosh, so there was a little bit of everything in there.
Just a little bit, just.
So now what does that mean for your full recovery now? Where are you in your recovery?
I'm back playing now. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was a prognosis of like anywhere from kind of like 6 to 9 months range.
Right.
And this is about 9 months now, I guess, cause I had surgery April 20th. Not too big on the mathematics, to be honest, yeah. But and I've also stopped keeping track because of how good it is now.
Right.
But,
that's the best.
But thing. I'd lost a lot of quad muscles. So I had to I think there's a nice clip from when we had won away, after David Schwanier scores and the camera pans around the corner.
Right.
And they got me running down the touchline with my bib on from when I had been lying on the floor for about 5 minutes before that.
Right.
With the big old thighs, I lost a lot of it. And, I just basically like regrew a leg, you know, it was so tedious. Like the repair, like took like its own form, like pretty quickly. It was just like, I just had to like regrow all this muscle.
Right, so you're just sitting there working on one leg, trying to get it to come back to what it was.
Exactly, and then it's okay. Now your balance is super good on this injured leg. You got to make sure that your balance is really good on this other leg, so that way it doesn't like hurt the other one. Now, you know what I mean. You got to keep in balance. So
right,
it's a funny process.
And would I'm assuming that's the longest you've ever been laid off with an injury.
Yeah, I've never had any serious injury before.
Nice. So what does that do to your mindset, like trying to get back from it?
What's honestly, going through your head? It had already, like, it happened in April, and like, right. From a personal standpoint, it had already been a funny year. So I just like, kind of like, just like laughed it off. And like, right. I was like, dude, like what else is going to happen now? So I was like, might as well just chuckle and like, and move on. You know what I mean? Like, I never really got too down about it. Like, I remember, cause I came into the change room after, and like, you know, all the boys like come over and they're like, am I allowed to swear on here? I don't know.
You're totally allowed.
Yeah, the word's like, oh, I'm so fucking sorry. Like, I'm all this, I'm all that. You know, right. Like, you keep your head up, bro. I was like, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. Like, I was a little bit in shock, I think, but at the same time, I was just like, what am I gonna do? Like, I.
What else?
Crying about it's not gonna help.
Right.
You know, like, and you know what? To be fair, I don't want to be throwing shade at any players who have cried over that. That stuff is obviously a nightmare, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but just in my particular like situation, I was like, bro.
Yeah.
What else is gonna happen now? So.
And it's almost maybe a little bit of naivety too there, because like with never having that big injury before, you're probably like, I don't. What else can I do? Like,
I mean, like for the first month, I couldn't even walk, so I was like. You know what's funny is I actually I had surgery on the 20th, and on the club put me in like a hotel for the first two nights next to the right next to the hospital.
Okay.
I don't know if it's where you stayed or not. Did you come for the 2019 final in Calgary?
Yeah, I was there for the 2019. Yeah.
Did you stay in the Marriott?
No, I didn't stay there.
Okay. So that's where the away teams stay. That's like the partnership that like each club kind of has with hotels in the area for away teams to stay at, right? Like Forge has the Sandman kind of thing. So that's actually right next to the, like a stone throw from where I had surgery.
Wow.
So I was very lucky, like in the sense that, cause you're not supposed to be released from the hospital if you live alone, which I do.
Right.
I was very lucky that Tom Field, who also sustained the exact same injury as me, both two very irregular, like the LCLs aren't that common,
right?
Of an injury in soccer players, like they do happen obviously, but they're not that common. And they he had done his the week before I did mine, and so we had actually had surgery on the same day. So he was in the morning and I was in the afternoon. When I was waiting for his surgery, or I was waiting for my surgery, he had come out of his, and wow. I got to see like his like natural grimacing and stuff like that. And I'd been so excited to get the process started.
Right.
And I really didn't have a good anticipation of like what was to come, you know.
Right.
Very honestly, like I do not wish the pain of the first few days after surgery on anyone.
Right.
I didn't sleep for 15 hours straight just because the pain was too bad.
Really?
Yeah, because I get, because the meniscus repair is on the inside and the LCL repair is on the outside. So there was no like comfortable way for my leg to go in any capacity, and it can't lift itself. So I was carrying it everywhere. And it's funny. So they let me go to this hotel. Tom Field's girlfriend came and picked me up and dropped me off at the hotel. God bless her. And, that way I didn't have to stay in the hospital for the next 48 hours.
Right.
Which, I murdered myself if that had been the case. Yeah. I actually was supposed to get like an AC unit installed in my apartment from the building because it just started to get warm at the time. And I was expecting them to come the day that I had gotten home to my home from surgery. And they turned up. I get a call at 6 a.m. and I'm like, hey, well, what are you guys doing here at 6 a.m.? They're like, it's the anti-doping. And I'm like, huh? I don't know what? And they're like, yeah, it's doping control. You gotta let us in. I was like,
really?
I was like, dude, I can't move. Like, you guys are gonna have to punch in my codes and like walk in here. They walk in, and like at this time it was taking me like 5 minutes to get from my bed to the bathroom. And they still made me pee in the cup. They didn't postpone it.
Seriously, like, they made you actually go up to the cup.
Like, yeah, I was like all perkied up, all like T3'd up.
Right.
And what? they still made me do it.
That's incredible. Like a weird random story. Like, you're off injured. Like, I'm sure they could have let one slide. No.
Like, I'm sure they could have rescheduled. Like,
right.
Like, it's not like I turned up and was like, oh, I'm hurt. I can't get to the bathroom.
Right, exactly.
Because I had been like out partying or something. You know what I mean? Like, it was right. Like, dude, I'm in like the next clothes. I'm in like a brace and like laced in like cloth. Like, I haven't even seen my knee yet. Like, oh. And I'm up at like 6 a.m. like trying. Yeah. It's so hard for me to get to sleep too. And I like, I at that time I was waking up like 4 or 5 times a night.
Right.
Just because, like,
so you finally get a little bad stretch of sleep, and here they come banging on the door. Oh man.
Lucky me. So that's kind of a funny one.
Yeah, I guess you do have to keep kind of a light attitude the way things have been going for you.
Hey, this, what are you gonna do, man?
Right? Oh yeah. Man, that makes for great stories though.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. I don't want to focus only on injury, because obviously you're sure coming back. So
yep.
Do you have any word, even if you can't share anything yet, do you have anything locked down? Where do you think you're headed? Or do you think you have a good matchup?
I can say that I anticipate playing in the CPL in 2023.
Fantastic.
That is what I can say.
That's what you can say. You're not saying any more than that yet.
I'm not saying any more than that yet.
All right. It's a long show though, so we might get something by the end.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll go back in time a little bit and talk about some events that like all Forge fans remember. And for me, it's Municipal Lemieux, like when you scored that beauty.
Yeah. Lemieux.
Yeah. Yeah. Lemieux. And Dom puts the ball up to you and you just cracked that ball from, you know, it was amazing. We all went nuts. Tell us about that. And again, it was crazy, I think, COVID times and stuff. But
I think that's probably my favorite professional goal, to be honest with you. Well, I remember at the time, like I had started well in the bubble. I had scored against Calvary, a decent little overhead one kind of thing. And Bobby had been doing some rotating and stuff, and Mo had just come in, Babuli. Yep. And I had hurt my toe or something like that. Like, oh, I got stepped on really badly in the Atletico game in the group stage.
Okay.
And Mo turned it up in the round, in the like the second round, and I kind of found myself not starting anymore.
Right.
But what I didn't mind about that run through CONCACAF after was Bobby always trusted me. And I always knew that I was coming in, you know what I mean, to have an impact. If you look back at those games, like I think it was against Lemieux, it was like 60 minutes right before we went down to 10 or just after. Yeah, right before we went down. And then against Tauro when I won the penalty, I think it was like 70, 75, something like that. And like that whole run was like kind of like, it's good for a striker, at least when you know what your role is, even if you're not going to start the match. Right.
You know
that you're going to, you just have to be ready to come in. Which is, you know, something I think I'm like pretty decent at, and it's not everybody's like cup of tea per se, you know.
I was gonna say that's gonna be tough for a striker because you want to get those minutes, get the flow of the game and all that kind of stuff.
Well, like when chances are falling, right, like obviously more are gonna fall your way if you're playing the whole match,
right,
like from a basic statistic standpoint. But like even in the bubble, like I had scored off the bench against Pacific as well,
right?
And like it just kind of like it clicked a little bit that time, right? So I remember coming onto that game and it was kind of like hectic at that point, you know,
right?
Because I came on and they wanted to make an offensive switch, and then Johnny got sent off. I think it was Johnny. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, if we just made an offensive substitution, you know. I don't know if like maybe Bobby makes the same call, like if Johnny gets sent off like 5 minutes earlier, you know, maybe he brings in a winger or a defensive player to kind of shore things up and leave someone alone up top. But then all of a sudden he made the substitution and me and Mo are out there together. it was just such a cool moment, you know. Like I look back and I was like, I should have celebrated a little harder, but I was walking around like calm down.
Trying to keep it calm and stuff. But it was amazing though. So like, because for us, we're all like freaking out, going crazy. And
stuff. Going crazy.
You guys still have a game to play, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I remember it was one of those games, like when you come on as a sub, because you're fresh, right? Everybody demands like the most running out of you. Right. But sometimes like at least I find, it's not the same for any players, but we kind of talked about it before. Like sometimes like, when you like either the first 15 minutes are like the hardest for your legs kind of to get under you, or when you come on, when you're expected to run so much, you run so much in that first like 5-6 minutes that you're on, you're exhausted all of a sudden.
Gas yourself.
And then we go down to 10 men, and like I'm like playing like half wing, half 10, half 9. I don't even know what I'm playing at this point. Right. And like you've got like Eddie at the back, like telling you, fucking Ron, you just came on. Fucking this. And I'm like, bro.
I'm killing myself here.
We're in El Salvador. We're at like altitude. Like,
right.
And it's like, I can barely breathe. It's hot. It's like 40 degrees. And like, it's so like humid that the water's like wet, you know, like, or yeah. Like the air is like wet.
The air is wet. Yeah. You guys are so
just drenched. Yeah. It was a funny game though. It's a good one to look back on.
And that's another thing that's amazing. Like to watch it on TV, obviously you don't get that whole feeling of, you know, what the conditions were like. Right. And,
yeah.
And just the adrenaline that must flow through you when you run in for that first 5 minutes and you're sprinting around and then you're just like, your body catches up and it's like, oh man, like I've got nothing left for a second. I need to catch my breath.
I know it's wild. It's wild.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right. Like, so we signed, Forge has signed, Hamilton came in and plays more like a, it was interesting because I thought it was going to be more like a traditional big nine, but we had in you that could hold up the play and stuff like that. And maybe he's still getting used to that. I think that he's going to be really good next year as he gets used to the team and stuff like that. We already have some big forwards in Pacias, you know, David Schweinier out on the wing, all that good stuff.
And not to mention Big Taren.
Yeah, and Big Taren. Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, we're stacked up top, right?
So, I know.
So what is the biggest difference between when you played with us and the way they line up now?
Well, I think, obviously, like, you guys won it this year, so like you can't say much like negative about the team, you know what I mean? I think there's maybe a little bit different bit of makeup in the team in terms of like DNA. I think there's, you know, there's more younger boys in the team now. You know what I mean? Like the core of the team is a little bit younger, I guess. And like, I don't really want to say that it's different now than it was then, you know, but like then, like, there was like always like a very large understanding that we were just gonna win, you know what I mean? Right. Like, there was never really like a thought of us not winning, and I think that's part of the reason that like Forge is like so successful is that mentality, right?
Right.
And like, I can't, so because of not being in the change room in a couple of years now, like, I can't speak to it, how that mentality changed or not. I just know that more players from when I was there have gone, right? Like,
right,
as an example, like Kwame for me is like, he's one of the best left backs like that has played in the CPL, you know.
Yeah,
I thought last year, like, I was like Ashton's like super experienced and excellent dude, high quality. I was like, Kwame's gonna be so hard to replace because not only is he so good, he'd be so durable and so technical as well. He can play like as an inverted fullback, he can play in midfield, he can play in a double pivot, he can play, you know, he can play left wing if you really need him to, you know. Right. Like, I've seen him do it. Like, the guy's an animal.
And that's the interesting thing about watching Forge, like the guys, a lot of guys that they had, whether it was Kwame, Cisse, another one, like people fit into their spot, but they also will go anywhere Bobby asked them to be.
Yeah. Basically. Well, look at Sissoko this season, right? He kind of did that, a little bit of that Cisse role that you would have seen in the Champions League or in the CONCACAF in our run when I was there, like a little bit with that kind of auxiliary right back position.
Right.
When you can clearly tell that the person's a center midfielder, you know? Where they would thrive the most. But to be fair, both of them did like very good jobs there. I actually have a funny story about Cisse because I feel like he's known for having a bit of an engine on him, you know, run for days kind of guy.
Yep.
It's funny because sometimes in training, like, it wasn't always like that.
No, really?
Yeah, I'll never forget. Like, we were playing small-sided and like it was like 5v5 or whatever, but like it was in a tight space. And like when it's small numbers like that, like, you can't afford to like pass on, right? Because there's no offsides and stuff. You just have to run with your guy. You just have to run wherever they go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I never get Cisse just like standing there. And like, he always spoke more English than he let on, by the way.
Really? But, I wondered about that.
He definitely understood a lot more than he let on too. But I'll never forget him going there. And I can't remember who yelled at him, but somebody goes, Cisse, are you going to fucking mark your man? Or said, Cisse, are you going to fucking pick up? He goes, no. No,
just flat out.
Yeah.
I understand you, but no.
But no, with a huge grin on his face.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, well, definitely he had that engine kind of
tag,
right? That he just was
a 1,000%. He could get up and down. Then he's a fit kid. Like, he's also like 135 pounds soaking wet. So I hope he can run for days.
I remember at the locker room sale looking at the jerseys and there's not a whole lot of extra larges on soccer teams. Everybody's pretty much a tight shape and stuff like that. So definitely Cisse's was a little bit of a smaller jersey.
Yeah, yeah, naturally, naturally.
okay, also, I remember too, when you first came to Forge, there being a story about you, like, almost being, like, done with football, right? Like, you already, like, this league came at, like, the perfect time for you to be able to kind of give that last chase at the professional dream.
Yeah.
Was it that you were going to go to the military, or you considered
that's correct.
The military or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. I had applied to be an infantry officer. I wanted to be an intelligence officer, but my mathematic testing wasn't strong enough for that.
Wow.
My mathematical scores kind of ruined my standardized test. Boo. I did like 95th percentile in English, but like 25th right. in the math, and it kind of dropped the average.
You kind of said, not so much.
Yeah, I blew that.
So how close were you to being part of the military instead of a soccer player?
Like weeks away kind of thing.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I remember that being kind of the big news. Like,
it was kind of wild, man. Like I said, like I was having trouble finding an outlet to, like, get a trial to go play, you know, like,
right.
like, it was tough. Like, if I hadn't gone to Forge, like, I was literally prepared to go to, like, the Amazon in Brazil to go play, like, third or fourth or fifth, whatever division it is. My familiarity with the Brazilian tier of football is not the highest, but the team couldn't have been great. They're in the Amazon. Like, it would have been sketchy, but, like, I was ready to go just to, like, get a chance, but also I had the military thing, you know, and, like, I didn't really want to choose between those options. Like, I don't think I would have made any money.
Like, no, either way, wasn't really what you wanted, right?
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, it came at the right time.
And for me, I'm thinking right now, you're 28 years old?
Yeah, 28 now.
Yeah. So this is, like, kind of prime time because you're, like, still a young guy.
Yeah,
but you've got, like, this bags of experience. You play for, like, two of the top teams in the CPL.
It's a weird one.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird one for me because I've not been a pro for that long,
right.
But I have a lot of good professional experience now.
Which is kind of crazy, right? Like,
yeah.
Here you are sitting, like you said, like, you haven't been, the CPL's only been around 4 years, right?
Yeah, I know.
And so this is basically where you got your top tier.
Yeah.
So it seems like you've been around forever, but really, like, you haven't.
CONCACAF helps with that a lot, I feel. The brief stint in Portugal helps with that. But I was talking about this with somebody recently. I think it was maybe Tom Field. It was because he's just come back into Calgary for a little bit. We were chatting and we went out for a drink and stuff. We were chatting and, I'll never forget playing at home to Olympia when we won 1-0 when Nango scored.
Right.
I don't know if you'd remember, but there was a defender with 26 Ferrari on his back. He had the dreads.
Oh yeah. Okay. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So because I, like, you know, did my homework at the time or whatever. I looked up who I was going to be playing against after we had seen, like, done video and been scouting for it. This guy had played for, like, Boca Juniors the year before and I had come from, like, League One.
Wow.
And I remember me and Tristan Henry kind of had a similar conversation around the time, like, about how wild that was, you know, like,
that's crazy, right?
You know, like, half of this Olympia team is in the Honduran national team.
Yeah.
Like, and we were playing in a League One All-Star game in Montreal last year. It's just, like, wild, yeah, you know?
What a trial by fire, right? Like, you're coming from, like, semi-pro amateur ball, basically, and you're playing people who've been on, like, historic football teams and have played.
Dude,
like,
they went on to beat the Seattle Sounders that year. In the quarters or whatever of the Champions League. I can't remember who they lost to now, but they went and beat the MLS teams. And we were like, we won our game at home, you know, 1-0. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm not going to say that we deserve to win the away game.
Right.
But like, I mean, things gone differently. Maybe you scored a chance in the beginning, whatever. Like, there were no fans of that game. Because if you remember, they had been throwing rocks at the opposing team's bus before and they had all got banned from the stadium.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, like, it's like, I mean, it's just crazy how, like, that guy was at, like, one of the pinnacles of football, you know, at least in South America.
Yeah, for sure.
And Olympia, like, just as a team with a reputation, is, like, in general, no joke.
Right.
And it's like, I've not really played kicked a professional ball, but we still had it. You know, we were still there.
Still
we
had it.
And we deserved to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And Boyd have gone on to prove that too, to be fair.
Yeah. And that's like, again, the impressive thing about that team and the makeup of that team is that you guys never looked like you didn't belong.
No, never.
no matter where you guys play.
And I think that speaks really well to the level of the CPL in general. I think it's a good showcase, to be honest.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Well, even like look at Pacific's game right this year when they played at home and they popped that team 5-0 or whatever from Jamaica.
Yeah,
and I was like.
And even when they went on the road after, like they went down a man and still hung in.
Was there. Was that Waterhouse? Is that the team that we lost to?
Yeah. Waterhouse is the team that
they
pounded in back home. Yeah.
Yeah, like that was a demolition.
Again,
like,
there and was... no slouches, right? Like those are teams that have played in tournaments and stuff before, and here goes PFC first time out, right? So
yeah, exactly. So like, I feel like as much as it's easy to think about where the level of the CPL could be or where it's going to or what have you, I feel like it is. I feel like it's quite good.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you.
And it's been getting better, obviously.
Yeah, and that brings me to another point too. I think you've been pretty active on social media and stuff like that. You guys just got the Canada PFA can just got recognized officially. How does that feel now to finally have?
I just think it's really important. You know, I just think like from a player standpoint, there's just a lot of bare basics that I just feel like should be kind of like. Like you shouldn't have to worry about them, you know, like where's your housing coming from? Like until you have a salary, like we're all aware of what the salary or the minimum salary is.
Right.
We know what, like in essence, kind of what some of the biggest players make, you know what I mean? But there's a huge disparity there between, you know, being as an example, like a Bustos or a Becker and being, you know, a first year pro or what have you. Right. So it's like some players, like they need that. You know, they need that like quite like badly.
Yes.
And it's like, so like, there shouldn't be like a, oh, am I getting housing? Oh, like how low is the salary going to be? Like, it's just like, listen, I'm not saying that this is going to, you know, be a part of the bargaining agreement, but a teeth cleaning couldn't hurt, you know?
Right. You know, and it's funny you said that though, because with all the things you're worrying about just as a player, just from a player standpoint coming into the league, you know, all the technical things you need to be able to do on the pitch and stuff, to have to worry about, you know, do I get a massage to help recover or
is that like I haven't experienced a club where like the physio hasn't been taken care of well, you know. From Forge to Cavalry, like both have been very solid, but like at the same time, it's like, okay, so if you're on, you know, less than 30 grand a year, which is now the minimum, is my understanding, I believe. But like at the time, if you're on that, it's not in the budget to go get a teeth cleaning. That's $200 without insurance.
Right.
And like, you're just like very, very basically, you know, so there's just so many like basic things that should be taken care of when players are, if we're honest, like we're sacrificing our future comfort in life.
Yeah.
Especially with these turf pitches, you know, for a job that requires you to be there, you know, at least from 9 a.m. to, you know, I do like the job because you get to finish early more than most people. I guess that would be a benefit of being like a professional athlete. But as much as you don't get your stat holidays, you know, you don't get your overtime pay, you know, like if games fall on holidays, birthdays, friends, parents, sisters, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, what have you, like you're not there if you have an away match, you know, like it's a different lifestyle and you're putting your body on the line and it's going to take a lot away from you, like in the future, in terms of not waking up in the morning and needing to be keeled over in the shower while your back heats up,
right?
Which I do now. And it's like, you know, like these are small things that like just players shouldn't have to worry about when they have such an intense job, because at the end of the day, like this is taken just as seriously as any other professional league is, regardless of what players and coaches and people are making and what kind of attendance is coming in. Everybody wants to win just as badly as they want to win anywhere else in the world. You know, I can guarantee you that, like between both coaching staffs that I've had at Ford and Cavalry, neither of them are taking time off. Like they're not cutting out at lunch to go home when training's over and the boys are leaving. They're staying after. They've got a long day too, and like the attention to detail is intense, and they want to win very badly, you know. So it's like when everybody's committing so much, it just makes sense to have small things eased from your mind, if you will.
Right. No, that totally makes sense, and I think that's something that I've never had a chance to speak about, like,
yeah,
again, really good point, like a teeth cleaning or something like that, just something that would weigh on your mind if you're at the lower end of the
Because I know you spoke with Marco, and Marco is the best person to speak about, obviously, with when it comes to this stuff, but I assume that he would come at it from more of the president's perspective, right? You know, as much as he is a player, he's like, he has a bit more of a responsibility to be diplomatic, right?
100%.
Whereas, like, I don't think that I'm not being diplomatic about it, but I have a little bit more of a free speech, you know? It's like,
right. You're not going to be like, have to worry about how that sounds in the boardroom when you've got to make
exactly. Exactly. Like, Marco's going to be there suited up at meetings with the, you know, with the CPL head honches. I'm in a toque and a hoodie on a Wednesday night or Thursday night.
Yeah. It's a little bit different vibe. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay. And so I guess we have a few minutes still left. So I want to do a couple of questions for you. What was your biggest learning experience so far in the CPL, I guess?
Biggest learning experience in CPL so far for me is that football can change in a matter of seconds, whether it's going to change negatively or positively. It's hard to say,
right?
But all I know is that, like we talked about with the whole League One and Boca Juniors thing, from Joel Waterman playing in university to playing in the MLS two seasons later, from Lucas McNaughton playing at TFC or Vic playing in the Scottish Premier League, like, things can happen so fast. Lucas was on that team with Tristan Henry and I when we were in Montreal for that League One All-Star game. We were there together. And sometimes all it takes is a good season, you know? Right. That's all it takes. Like, I'm hungrier, like, now than I've ever been to crack on. Right. But when I first started this whole thing, all I wanted, my only goal was to make money playing football. It wasn't about how much I made. It wasn't about how successful I could be. It was that my lifelong goal was to be a professional soccer player. And I achieved that, right?
Right.
Now, it's like, well, I want to crack on, you know?
And instead it's like, of just being like, oh, I made it here. Now it's like,
exactly.
Now you can see the world that you're
seeing. And there's examples out of this league. The biggest takeaway is that's for anyone coming in. Like, there are players that I've seen who have been youth sports or draft picks or younger boys who I think, oh, maybe they're not the best player. But, right. You know, they just get into a match and all of a sudden they get a run of games and they're a different player, you know? And you've got youth on your side or you've got this on your side and all of a sudden you can take off, you know. That's you gotta keep the faith a bit, because like, looking at my year this year, like, it can be pulled from you just as fast as it can be given to you, you know. So you gotta keep the faith and crack on. Football's a good job. I'm not like, that's the one thing for me, I'm not ready to not wake up in the morning and go play football. I'm not ready to not do another away day. It's the best job in the world. Like, it truly is.
That's, I love to hear you put it that way, because I know we often hear, you know, football's a business, and it is. I mean, sports are a big business around the world, right? But it's nice to hear that there's people who are just waking up, like, waking up footy is means so much, right?
Like, very honestly, I've worked a lot of jobs before I played professional. Worked a lot of jobs. Not one did I ever not wake up not dreading.
Right.
I wake up you can wake me up at whatever time to go play football. I'm happy to do it.
You're happy to go.
Yeah, always.
Anthony, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. This was an awesome conversation for my first one out the gate.
Yeah,
it's good. And I'm sure I'll be reaching back out to you, and I hope we find out a little bit more where you'll be this year.
Sure.
Soon.
For sure. I hope so,
too. We'll have you back on, because I think you're going to be like the go-to guest.
Let's do it, man. I'm happy to. Anytime. Anytime. All
right. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good night.
Okay, my friend. You too.
Talk soon.
Sounds good. Ciao, brother.
Ciao, man.
Well, that's it for episode one. Big love to Anthony Novak for agreeing to be my first ever guest. Shout out to all the CPL podcasters out there making it look so easy. This gets better, right? I mean, Novak killed it, but I have some stuff to learn. Like when to hit record, apparently. Bye, humanoids. Till next time. I'm out.